All right, John chapter 10 here this morning. John chapter 10. It's actually a good thing we moved outside here today because we ended up expanding out the crowd here again today. Good to have each one of you here today. John chapter 10, as we look at the passage on the Good Shepherd, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John here. In fact, as we're even singing, The Comforter Has Come, of course, that title is taken from the Gospel of John. Just a few chapters away here, as we will get to that as Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the Holy Ghost, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter in our lives. Notice here, John chapter 10, verses 1 and following, as we consider here the setting of this chapter. John chapter 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Now, as you notice here in this passage, obviously he's dealing with shepherding. Now, how many of you have had any experience with sheep over the years? Now, from what I understand, that's not necessarily a compliment for us to be called a sheep, because sheep are, by nature, dumb animals. Sheep, by nature, need a shepherd. And I want you to consider here, even as we look at this passage today, that people will follow someone. And that's why it's important for us to be following the right person. Now, Israel understood shepherding, because in the Old Testament, they would read about the Old Testament shepherds like Abel, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David. But also in the Israelite culture, there were shepherds often up on the hillside. So they could see a shepherd caring for his sheep. Now in the context here, I believe we're talking about here the blind man who received his sight as he was cast out of the fold of religion. Notice it says here in John chapter 9, verses 24 and following, just by way of a reminder here, because again, I believe this is the context of chapter 10, because Jesus continues his teaching at the end of, from the end of chapter 9. It says here in verse 24, "Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man," speaking of Jesus, "is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Would ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." All right, so talking about the Old Testament religion of Judaism that had actually been corrupted by this time. "We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." Now, Jesus had said where he's from heaven, from the Father. "The man answered and said unto them, Why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins." That was their assumption based on the fact that he had been born blind. "Dost thou teach us?" And they, notice, cast him out. And that's when Jesus began to minister to him and presented himself as the Son of God. And of course, it says he believed on him and worshipped him. But also I want you to notice here, at the end of this chapter, Jesus confronts the religious leaders of his day. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see. See not, might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Again, we're talking about a spiritual application here. These spiritual leaders had spiritual blindness. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you." Notice this is a continuation. Jesus is actually dealing with the Pharisees, these religious leaders of his day. And as we notice here, the first two verses of chapter 10, we see a contrast between the good shepherd and these false shepherds of Israel. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, as you notice the term sheepfold there, we have to understand a little bit here in the Israelite culture. As the shepherd would lead his sheep in the evening, he would gather them into what is called a sheepfold. Now, this sheepfold would be built from stones, almost like this actually here. I forgot that since we're out here, we could use this. It'd be almost like this. There'd be a small opening, but then there would be a rock wall or a thorn bush hedge around it to gather the sheep into. And there would be no gate at the sheepfold. The shepherd would actually lie across the opening and be the door to the sheepfold. That's the word picture that Jesus is giving here. Notice there it says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." All right, so instead of going through the entrance to the sheepfold, he's talking about somebody who's climbing up over the wall in order to get into the sheepfold. Notice his description. These religious leaders were thieves and robbers. They were not the good shepherd. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, I said earlier that people will follow someone. And as I look at our culture, there's several people the masses will follow. First of all, movie stars. You know, if they're famous movie stars, then there's multitudes that will follow these stars, or sports stars. You think about the posters that kids have up on their walls. I've said this before, we did not allow our sons to have individual players' posters on the walls. You know why? I told them, you don't know what their character's like. How many times, years into a career, someone has a moral failure, and we find out that their life has been corrupt all along? I did not have a problem with them having a favorite team, but I did not like them exalting an individual player. You know, you think about some of the players that have hit the big news because of moral failure. We find out that their lives were morally corrupt. Politicians. We're seeing that going on right now. Are you a follower of this politician or that politician? I'm not a follower of any politician. In fact, I don't think any of them are qualified to lead our nation right now. Oh yeah, we are not following the party line. I want you to think about this. It's more than just being able to lead a mass of people. They need to have moral character that stands behind how they lead. Politicians. You know, we have people dividing up into camps following different politicians. People will follow politicians. Sometimes they follow advertisers. That's why, when we would watch shows, we would turn the commercials off. Or change the channel. You know why? Because I did not want my sons being deceived and led astray by what they saw. Oh, that's got to be what I need. That's exactly what advertisers buy into. Musicians. No, your favorite musician. People will pay big bucks to go see their favorite musician. People will follow musicians. Talk show hosts. Whether it's Oprah, whether it's Sean Hannity, whatever. They will follow certain people. Talk show hosts. Rush Limbaugh. I told you before that I tried listening to Rush Limbaugh, but one of my big problems was how many times he cussed on the program. I want you to think about this. The Bible says we are to not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. And yet because he's conservative, we think it's okay. Sean Hannity. He pulls a verse out of context. "Let not your heart be troubled. Sean, can you finish out the verse? Because it's very important to finish out that verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. It's a thing of faith. But you think about it again, we follow certain people, religious leaders. Some will follow the Pope. Some will follow a priest. Some will follow some religious guru. Many will follow a megachurch pastor. Here's the point. Who are you following today? Are you following the Good Shepherd as Jesus Christ presents himself to the world? Or are you following some man? I want you to notice here in this passage, Jesus warns that there are many thieves and robbers who will try to steal the flock, try to steal people away after them. Jesus again says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth. Now, as I studied this out, this is probably a reference to John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to come. Many followed him because of John the Baptist pointing them to him. And it says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, as you look at that phrase there, he leadeth them out. Leading them out of where? It says in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, if you understand that he's talking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees of his day, here's what Jesus is saying. He says, I am putting forth my sheep. I am leading them out. Leading them out of what? He's leading them out of false religion. I want you to notice here, as you look at the Gospel of John, as you look at the Acts and so on, we notice here that at first Christianity tried to have a part in Judaism. Of course, Jesus Christ was a Jew. And yet, as you look at the Gospel of John, John the Apostle often says the Feast of the Jews. He doesn't say our Jewish feast. By the time you get to the persecution of the book of Acts, you know what happens? Judaism and Christianity have an official break. In fact, I believe that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Hebrews is basically telling Hebrews to stop being Hebrews. So you know what God did? God sent the Romans in and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed everything. Jesus Christ, he said, he came to start something new. He did not try to use an old religion to try to build Christianity. So you notice here again, the Good Shepherd, Jesus of the Bible, leads his sheep out of false religions. Now, from time to time, I've heard people say, well, I'm not trying to take you from your church. I'm not trying to take you from your religion. Let me say it this way. That's not a true statement if those people are in a religion that's sending them to hell. For me to tell somebody who's in a false religion that's sending them to hell, that's leading them to hell with false doctrine, that would be blood on my hands. If I tell them, oh, just stay in your religion, don't worry about it. That's why I've said the Jesus of the Bible is not tolerant of all religions. Did you notice that statement again? Jesus says he leads them out. Leads them out of where? Out of the false religion that they were in. Because you notice it goes on to say, again in verse 4 it says, he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Notice here also, the good shepherd protects his sheep. It says in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, pause there just a moment. A stranger is one who has another message. I am concerned how many people today who call themselves a Christian listen to people who do not have a Christian message. Did you hear what I said? If they cannot give you a clear plan of salvation, gospel story, then you better be careful of them. They are a stranger. Jesus called them a thief and a robber. Notice here again, he protects his sheep. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Who are we listening to today? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Notice, many do not understand. There's a reason why. I want you to notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a reason why they could not understand what Jesus was saying. Let me show you a couple of passages here. While you're turning there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, I've mentioned this verse a few different times. Basically, it says the gospel was not received because it was not, the truth was not mixed with faith. The word that was preached to them was not mixed with faith. And I've given this illustration before. You can have two people sitting in a church congregation, a church group. One person gets it and one person doesn't. What's the difference? Whether or not the word of God is mixed with faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. In fact, let's look at the context here because I want you to see the contrast here. Verse 11, what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we, talking about believers, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now pause there just a moment before we look at verse 14. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's how you understand the Bible. You know, there's times I'll be studying through a passage to preach, and it's like, Lord, how does this section fit with the rest of the chapter? Lord, I don't quite see this yet. So I'll start digging and looking at cross-references, and all of a sudden it's like the light goes on, and the Holy Spirit says, there it is, right there. That's how this passage fits. Now notice it says in verse 14, the natural man, the one who has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as well. You notice the unsaved person cannot understand. That's why Jesus Christ was very clear in what he said, who he was, and yet the religious leaders could not get it. They knew the Old Testament Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, they thought. And yet the Old Testament scriptures that pointed very clearly to the Messiah, they totally missed it. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You notice here again back in John chapter 10. Hold your place there because we'll go back and forth if you follow me to other passages. Because you notice here again it says, this parable spake then unto them, but they understood not what things he spake unto them. Many do not understand because religion blinds them. You see that? Religion blinds them to the truth. In fact, if you're not careful in some cultures, if you do not tell them that they have to repent of their false idolatry, their idolatry, and turn to Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you know what they will do? They will add Jesus to their gods. That's exactly what they do in a lot of Asian countries. They will add Jesus to their other gods. If you're not careful in Hinduism, they will add Jesus to their millions of gods that they have. You notice here again, Jesus was speaking to them, but religion was blinding these leaders. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Notice his emphasis here. He says this over and over again. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Notice here he mentions not only the strangers in verse 5, but he also speaks of the thieves and robbers. Again, I want for us to notice some of these passages. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible very clearly warns us about false teachers that try to get into the church. And let me just say this. One of the things I've noticed over the years is that a liberal Bible scholar, quote unquote, will often not start a church. You know what the liberal will do? They will go in and try to take over a Bible preaching church. Subtly. Notice here what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, as Peter gives a warning here about false prophets and false teachers. It says in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, notice that, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Notice how they do this. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you,
whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They are headed towards judgment. Another passage, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. While you're turning there, let me mention here, as far as the Pharisees, Jesus said that that they devoured widows' houses. What does that mean? They were getting wealthy off of widows. That sounds like a lot of preachers today. They often refer to them as televangelists. Let me notice here it says, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and following. Notice here, and let me just say this, I thought this was interesting as I was setting up the Spanish outlines. I thought it was interesting that as I typed in the word shepherd into the translator, I was reminded that the Spanish word for shepherd is pastor. And very, very clearly, God has made the pastor as an under-shepherd. I am not the good shepherd of the church. Jesus Christ is. But you notice here in this passage, the Holy Ghost makes a pastor the under-shepherd to watch over and protect the flock. It says in verse 28 of Acts 20, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," to yourself personally, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Notice, I did not choose to be the overseer of this church. God, the Holy Ghost, has placed me in this position, this ministry, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You notice here, it's Christ's church, who is God, because he paid the price for the church. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." By the way, if you start hearing about little cliques in the church, oh, you don't need to go to that church. You don't need to go to the church services. You better pay attention. There's somebody who's trying to get a following after them. I want you to consider Jesus Christ established the church. He did not establish an internet chat group. I mean, you can go all the way you want across the board. Some of this stuff that's going on today is not of God. Jesus Christ says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, the Lord works through the local church today. Notice here he says again, "Men shall arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." If somebody is trying to get you to leave a Bible preaching church, you better pay attention. That's of the devil. It says here, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, often it's not popular for a preacher to give a warning ministry. Warning ministry is not popular in our modern day, because in our day of tolerance. "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." I am pointing people to this book right here. If I stop preaching this book, then you better go find another church. Did you hear what I said? If I stop preaching this book, you better go find another church. But notice what it says here in verse 33. Here he presents his character. "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Chapter 20, verse 4 talks about people that served with him in the ministry. The Apostle Paul worked to support them. Notice the amazing character that has here. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I am thankful that KLA allows me to teach as a substitute teacher here and the other schools in this area. Following Paul's example, instead of being a tent maker, I'm a substitute teacher. There are many preachers today who will not decide to go somewhere based on a salary, a house, all those things. We came here, I came here with no job. As the church was gathering, just starting, I couldn't count on a salary, housing allowance, or anything. There are multitudes. In fact, notice verse 12. Verse 12 of John chapter 10. "He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf, coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep." Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, is concerned for the flock. Let's back up. I forgot I missed a few verses here. Notice it says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only salvation, but Jesus Christ also wants to provide satisfaction. Now that's not talking about a big house. That's not talking about an expensive car. That's not talking about those things. The abundant life is not abundant life of things. But you notice here it says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want you to notice the strategy of Satan there. First of all, to steal the truth. You remember the parable of the sower, the seed in the sower? Remember what it says, the birds came and snatched away the seed before it could even take root. That's exactly what Satan wants to do with the Word of God. He wants to steal the truth so that it cannot be a part of your heart and your life. But notice also, he wants to kill. Why? First of all, because people are created in the image of God, it says in Genesis chapter 1. Nowhere does it say that angels are created in God's image. So Satan has a hatred for people who are created in the likeness of God. Not only that, Satan, I believe, also knows that we as believers will someday judge angels. You know what 1 Corinthians 6 says? In the context of people taking other Christians to court and all those things before an unbelieving judge, Paul says, why can't you work it out in the church? Why aren't you willing to be defrauded if necessary to keep peace in the church? You know why? Because he says, don't you know that even believers, that we as believers are going to judge angels? We're going to judge the world? Well, I thought God was judge. I believe that probably indicates that we are going to stand at the great white throne judgment as a witness with God. We are going to be witnesses of the judgment of God. But it says we will judge angels. I have a feeling Satan hates that idea. And we are going to be standing as a judge with God over Satan and his forces. But also notice here, to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy your life. Notice it says in verse 11, something else about Jesus as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Notice his willingness to sacrifice. Now, again, the hireling. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You notice here the hirelings are only in it for gain, for filthy lucre, as the Bible calls it. In fact, that's one of the requirements of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, that I am not to be greedy for filthy lucre. The hireling does not have commitment to the flock, and he has no concern for the sheep. He careth not for the sheep. And again, as I said, some pastors and religious leaders will determine God's will based on salary and a house. And it's amazing how God leads them when a bigger salary is offered from a bigger church. It's amazing how God works in those ways, as they often say. God is leading me to such and such church. Why? Because they offer a bigger salary. That happens more than we want to admit and realize. And in the process of that, they will compromise to keep a crowd. You see, the hireling is all about buildings, budgets, and bodies. The hireling is only in it for what's going to help my salary. In fact, that's why we are not a 501c3 church. You know why? Because if we submit ourselves as a 501c3 church, as a government corporation, then the government can tell me what I'm supposed to preach and what not. You see, a church is automatically a nonprofit according to the IRS statements. So why would we pay to have something we already have? Do you think about this? There are many preachers today who will compromise their message because the government says that's not acceptable. Do you realize it's coming down in a day? But if I say something contrary to what the government stands for, I could go to jail if I was a government church preacher. Let me just say it this way in history. How many of you ever heard of John Bunyan, writer of Pilgrim's Progress?
John Bunyan spent 12 years in Bedford jail because the government says you have to have our license to preach. John Bunyan, as a Baptist preacher, said, nope, God's the one who put me into the ministry, not the government. So he refused the government license because they were going to tell him what he could and could not preach. Often these hirelings will use people to build their church. They'll use people for gain. Let me just point out something here. A lot of people follow some of these rich televangelists today. Let me ask you, does it bother you that they live in million-dollar houses based on what Jesus said? Does it bother you? Men like Creflo Dollar driving around on Rolls Royce and saying that Jesus would if he was here today? Based on what Jesus says in this passage, I think it should bother us. In fact, let's close with a couple of Old Testament passages. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Notice the relationship that Jesus has with his sheep. Again, if somebody's in it for filthy lucre, they're a thief and a robber based on what Jesus says. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and following. Here the Lord, Jehovah, says, woe be unto the pastors. Very interesting. He uses the term pastors. He's referring to shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Notice here he speaks out against the pastors who scattered the flock. Notice there also Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. I believe this kind of explains that passage a little bit more. Ezekiel is actually written after Jeremiah as far as chronological history is concerned. God was already judging Judah by this time. Ezekiel 34 verses 1 and following. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Notice they're not feeding the flock, they're feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which is broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Remember, the hireling fleeth because he doesn't care for the sheep. And so the sheep are scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. The Good Shepherd. Jesus had some very strong words for the quote-unquote shepherds of Israel of his day. What did he call them? Thieves and robbers who are devouring widows' houses. Let me ask you again today, who are you following? Who are you following? Are you following the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ? And let me just say this,
Jesus warned that in the last days, there would be many counterfeit Christs. There would be many false Christs. That's what he said in Gospel of Matthew, other places. Are we following the Bible Jesus? Are we following him? Let me ask you also, do you know Christ as Savior today? Is there a time when you have recognized that you are a lost sinner, going to a literal hell? Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. There is a real place, as even as we see in Revelation and other places, called Lake of Fire. They call it the second death. It'd be an eternal death-like existence. So you must recognize that you're a lost sinner before a holy God. You must realize that there is only one Savior, and that's Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And we're going to see in the next hour, who laid down his life for the sheep. He voluntarily gave up his life for you and for me. You see, he's the only way of salvation. Remember, Jesus himself said that he'll be saved. You see, you cannot enjoy the abundant life until you have life through Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning. Is there a time when you have recognized your sin before a holy God and that you have asked Jesus Christ to save you based on what he did on the cross? His death, burial, and resurrection. Is there a time when you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone? I didn't ask you if there's a time when you have prayed. Yeah, we must call upon the Lord, but it's not saying a prayer that's going to save you. I didn't ask if you're in church today, if you go to church regularly. I didn't ask if you were baptized. I didn't ask any of those things. You see, Jesus Christ came to die, to lay down his life for you. Is there a time when you have asked Jesus Christ that you've called on him to be your Savior, your only Savior, for your sin? Is there a time? Do you know Christ? You see, until there's a day when you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you're not going to be a part of the sheepfold. Maybe even here today, you're saying, I don't totally understand all this. Won't you ask one of us? I want to know more. Can you tell me more? Is there a time when you have asked Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to be your Savior? Again, Jesus said, people try to go over the wall. They try to get in other ways. He said that he was the only way, the truth, and the life. He climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Do you know Christ today? Father, I pray that you'd help us. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that even in this time of invitation to follow here, that you would do a work in hearts and lives individually. Jesus Christ came to be Savior the first time. He did not come to rule and reign in Jerusalem. He came to be a Savior, to be a sacrifice for our sins. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd work in hearts. Lord, I pray that every child here, I pray for every adult, to examine their hearts and to consider whether or not there's been a time when they have placed their full faith and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. For without that salvation, they're not even a part of the sheepfold. Oh, they might be in church. They might be in church today, but they're not a part of the sheepfold. They might be a part of some religion. They're not a part of the sheepfold. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd have the ability, the liberty to work in our hearts here to bring application. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand with me here this morning?